Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 470, Hellboy. Does this have a subtitle?
Nope, it was just Hellboy.
Just Hellboy?
Yeah.
They didn't get fancy and call it The Hellboy?
No. They're going for that straight reboot, so you know it's a reboot, because the first one's called Hellboy, right?
Correct.
So it's that straight, yep.
And then it was Hellboy, the...
The Golden Army.
Golden Army?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is the one most people prefer.
Really? God, I was bored to death.
That's the thing, man.
Most people that really appreciate those comics say the Golden Army gets the characters right, is a better film.
The other characters, maybe. Not Hellboy. To me, at least. Like, I'll let you do
that's
your
what
spiel.
We're here to do, yeah.
Well, let's, and then we'll get into it.
Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plug. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, and, of course, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, and join the League of Show Sharers. And check out our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, lots of bonus content, and you can maybe even be on the show. Who knows?
Who knows?
So there, that's all that. Hellboy.
So like I said previously on the not box office report / box office report episode.
Sure.
I think not box office report is probably fine.
So when I got out of comics during the fallow period, right? So Peter
set
Parker
the, set the tone for us, set the stage.
So Peter Parker was no longer Spider-Man.
Okay.
They had the clone saga. Ben Reilly was Spider-Man. Superman had changed from his traditional costume and powers to the electric blue.
He did.
I read through the jeans crap.
He did everything in jorts.
Batman was.
That's why Kevin Smith loves Superman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Batman wasn't Batman. That was, you know, the Azrael.
This during
Nightfall? I quit comics during this because I was like, these are not the characters I was Comicsgate before Comicsgate was a thing, where I was like, these are not the characters I recognize, I'm out.
Every single comic book decided to just be like, yeah, you know that thing you love,
we're gonna change it.
Yeah,
right.
But theirs wasn't even diversity driven.
No, it was just stupid costumes,
and it was like, if you're gonna make somebody else be Batman,
right,
it's Dick Grayson.
It's always Dick Grayson.
Like, that's not like that would have been kind of cool. Right. Like,
and then they
need John Paul Valley.
You need some character we've never seen before.
Yeah,
what a nut job.
We're gonna
man.
Introduce this character, and then 3 days later we'll make him Batman.
I remember reading that. So that was Nightfall, and I was like, no. It was Knight's End. It was after he'd broken his back.
Yeah, it was
and
Nightfall Dick, is like where
the breaking of the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Knight's End and then Knight's Quest.
Yeah.
But like, I remember when they introduced that character and I was like, wait a minute. You've had Dick Grayson running around sometimes being Batman when he had to be, but we're not going to make him Batman now.
Like, somebody needs to call HR.
This
is not like this guy has the seniority. He's been showing up every day.
He's on time.
In. He doesn't cause any trouble.
The month.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any idea why they decided to introduce this random character to take over?
No.
Like,
no.
I thought
there's
got to
be a story behind it.
I thought the story was because Azrael killed people, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I think the reason was
This is what I
they want to do some edgy killing. But
no, they wanted to show people that that wasn't what they wanted, because people thought that's what they wanted from Batman. Oh. And they were like, we're going to go down this road, but we're not going to do it in a way that will sully Bruce Wayne.
You can't have Dick Grayson kill people to prove that.
Right.
Point.
Yeah. And so they were like, here's this other character and he's a D-bag and you're going to hate him. And then you're going to be like, you know what? Maybe Batman shouldn't kill people.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're Zack Snyder.
Then he will murder people.
So I kind of like that. Then
Everyone learned that lesson, but Zack Snyder. Right.
But so, like, and then at Marvel, Marvel was an even bigger mess at that point. And then Marvel filed for bankruptcy. And luckily, thanks to Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti and Kevin Smith, they redid Marvel Knights and they introduced the Daredevil. And I mean, we don't really talk about demon hunting Punisher, but that was a thing. But like, mostly that.
Do we talk about the Black Punisher?
No.
Where they didn't have a Punisher who was black. They just took the white Punisher
and made him black.
And said, he's black now.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. That's pre this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Ruh-roh.
But then you had Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon on the Punisher, which is one of my all-time favorite comics of all time. So like and then that got me back into it a little bit, and that saved Marvel Comics at that point.
Someday, just as a side note, maybe for our Patreon, we should do an episode on like Avi Arad and those guys saving
that,
the
Stan Lee. As much as they give him crap, there's a reason Marvel Comics is still around, and it's Avi Arad and Stan Lee and
that,
those guys.
That story is amazing, the way that they figured out toys and licensing and saved that company.
Yep.
And that's why he's still a producer on everything.
Like, no, he's not.
He's not?
No.
Well, he's Spider-Man stuff. Right.
The Sony stuff.
Because it was he's the producer on all that stuff. Yes. Like, he saved that company, and his partner.
Kevin Feige's like, you take that mother's name off.
Right. But, I mean, they saved Marvel back then. It's a fascinating story with
everything
all that
they were putting out pre-MCU had his name on it. Yeah,
so
for sure.
We should talk about that because that's a fascinating story.
Absolutely. So, like, that, and then they brought Superman back, and they had, you know, DC kind of started to kick it into gear. So, like, I wasn't a big independent guy at that point. But
and what is Hellboy?
Hellboy is Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's the crazy thing. Mike Mignola doesn't own the film rights to this movie.
How did that happen?
I have no idea.
Because this came out post kind of the creator revolution where Image and we're going to own the rights, and even the big houses still figured out a way to kind of like make sure if you created something new, you'd have a piece.
Right.
And how did that happen?
I have no clue. And I mean, Mike Mignola was kind of a journeyman. He did some work at Marvel. He did some work at DC. And then I think Hellboy's first appearance was in a comic called Next Men.
Yeah, that sounds right. It was like a
cameo.
Yeah.
Was it like little N, little E, huge X?
Yes.
Well, yeah, yes. It was John Byrne.
It was John Byrne.
It was John Byrne kind of doing X-Men.
Next Men.
Yeah.
So
So Hellboy shows up in that. But then he didn't take Mignola.
Was he actually a character in that, or was he?
I don't know.
I thought it
I've
was
never
like
read that issue.
Because Dark Horse did a lot of stuff where there would be like an 8-page story in the back, like
which
they,
there's a lot of,
and there's a lot like the Dark Horse Presents did. They did a lot of that.
I feel like it was just like the Next Men ran into Hellboy.
Okay,
and then they were just like, okay, here you get. But so Mignola didn't take a traditional comic book approach to the character, right? So he never had an ongoing series. Would always do like minis.
They were it was always a mini series,
right?
And then like, and there might be another one, like
there's a lot,
but I mean you might see one that runs 4 or 6 issues, and then like a month later there's another one that starts
a whole new story.
But it was always positioned as, but that was kind of the thing for Dark Horse. They did a lot of stuff like that.
They
like,
did
all their Raiders of the Lost Ark stuff or Indiana Jones stuff that they
Aliens
did.
Aliens versus Predator, all that stuff.
They were all, it was always like, they didn't do a lot of ongoing series with that stuff. It was all just
Star
like,
Wars was kind of their only
But even
ongoing.
Then it was like a lot of that Star Wars stuff was miniseries.
The Dark Empire stuff was all minis. And
yeah.
It's so
like
much
that.
Easier for people to get into.
And that was the thought process.
They were ahead of the curve with trades and stuff like that.
Especially with licensed properties where people, they don't know where to start and where to stop. And it was like, oh, this
is your story.
Tell people to get into Spider-Man 374. Right? You know, right. It's hard.
Which is why you get a bunch of new number ones all the time.
Yeah. So I like what they're doing. Now, from the comic book standpoint, I mean, they want to sell issues. They want you to buy them all.
Right.
You know, understand all the linking issues
and Dark Horse is losing their ass.
Liked when Superman did the triangle numbers, so like
oh no, that was great.
Yeah
So you had, it was Superman, Action, Adventures of
Man
Superman
of Steel.
And Man of Steel,
and then there'd be a triangle number.
Yep.
And so you would know, you could figure out which order to read the monthly titles in,
like,
because those monthly titles were all connected,
right? Yeah. So like, you know, so if you had, you know, if you had three issues of Action, three issues of Man of Steel, three, you could be like, okay, I read Action, you know, 419,
right,
and then I read Man of Steel 22, okay, and then I read, you know,
it
and
was
so
super smart,
right?
It was really smart.
Well, at least they do that. They're making,
they don't do that now.
Stuff,
they did that. They did that. In
maybe
the
stories don't connect as much.
They
as
don't
they used to,
but, as
yeah.
much. But so what he was doing is he would just do these minis, mm-hmm, and so this. I remember looking at the art, and I'm almost positive it was either Guy Davis or Duncan Fegredo, and I was like, "What is it?" Because they were not traditional artists of, you know, that you would see at Marvel or DC.
And I just want to go on the record: Duncan Fegredo shot first.
And here I will go on record: Duncan Fegredo is an amazing artist. So like it was something new, and that's what I was looking for. Like, I still loved comics, but I was tired of reading the same stuff.
Yeah.
And then so Dark Horse and Image started to offer different thing. I'm back to Dark Horse. They're losing everything. They've lost Conan.
Yeah,
they've lost Star Wars. They've lost,
yeah,
Alien.
Star Wars has been Marvel for a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they've lost. Now they're going to lose Alien and Predator as well.
Yeah.
So, so like,
so look for lots of concrete reprints.
Yeah, as many as they can do.
Yes.
Yeah. So like looking at those Hellboy books, I was like, this is super weird and I like it. So that's how I got back. That's how I started reading Hellboy.
Yeah, I thought I would like Hellboy.
I
never did. I bought the first couple miniseries,
yeah,
and then they just, I was just like, eh.
But the cool part is about Hellboy is Mignola has built such a big world that if you don't like Hellboy, that's fine. You can read the BPRD,
right,
which is just all those other characters without Hellboy.
But see, and that's why I think Guillermo del Toro is such a great director to take on this franchise, because if there's one thing he knows, it's world building. Like in one movie.
And creatures.
Yeah, and yeah, creatures. But I mean, you don't have to have 10 movies to connect them and find out who everyone is. Like, you get into Hellboy or you get into whatever his projects are in that movie, you understand the characters and you understand the world. And he's so good at just conveying this world that you're watching, rather than you'd be like, what is the deal with these people and this, you know?
I guess I feel like this one didn't have that. I'm gonna tell you right now, I enjoyed the crap out of this movie.
I did not hate it.
Yeah, I thought it was I went in with fairly low expectations and I thought it was a lot of fun.
This is the movie Venom should have been.
I agree.
Like,
completely.
Like, Venom wanted to be this, like, down and dirty, kind of sleazy,
yes,
comic book movie.
Yes.
With an anti-hero and, like,
I was thinking that the whole time.
And, like, and I thought Venom was dumb and boring.
Yep.
And I did not love this movie, but I feel like for what it was trying to do,
I was in.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And, like, there was gore and violence that you don't normally get in a movie like,
yep,
this, but a movie like this, a Hellboy movie, probably should have. And,
uh-huh,
and you know, I was just, and my only complaint is I think it should have been about an hour 45.
I think it
overstayed its welcome.
Yeah, I would agree.
But,
yeah,
but
I was falling asleep during this,
yeah,
one. It was,
oh, man,
very boring.
So no, I don't think it was boring. Look, I think those other Hellboy movies are boring.
I think there were some scenes that just lingered in this one where it was like, get to your next thing. Let's move on. There were a lot of slow scenes. The pacing, the editing.
I was shocked at when people were like, this is the worst comic book movie ever made. I was
Well, this is
this
is the problem. So I, let me step in here at least and play a little devil's advocate.
Like, more people think like you do than think like we do.
Yeah.
So we're
but,
the odd men out here.
Well, I mean, just the movie, they just tried to do so much. It's like they took all these Hellboy comics and story arcs.
Well, here, I will say they took one. This is based on one thing.
The way it jumps around, it's crazy.
This is based on a 2009 mini called The Wild Hunt, and this
it's all in that book.
It's
okay.
All in that book.
Well, then it's the editing,
with the exception of the fight between Hellboy and the witch.
Yeah.
Everything is in that book.
Okay.
And it's 8 issues, so I mean,
yeah,
you know.
So, and maybe that's the problem, though. It's just, it seemed like this movie was trying to do so much, and it was like throwing everything at you, and there's so much they're trying to do from the very beginning and trying to teach you this weird mythology, and it wanted to be a 300. It wanted to be this weird black and white with this red color sticking out, and it did the
opening scene. Did, yeah,
and it did the slow down, speed up thing, and right from that first scene, it was so frustrating.
That first scene's bad.
It's terrible,
and
that seemed like a dollar store bin.
And the movie does too much. There's too many scenes where they're like, now let me stop and explain everything to you. There's so much
exposition. Yeah, there's so much. So I think it was very poorly written. I think it was trying to emulate these popular comic movies, like, this will be cool if we do this. And then it just seemed like it jumped around. And again, I think that's the editing, because they were just going from here to this part to this.
I will also, like, Neil Marshall, who directed this, is a hell of a director.
Yeah,
we've talked about The Descent. We've talked about
Game of Thrones. He's directed some of the best Game of Thrones.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy is a good director.
Yeah.
And when you read the stories about the studio interference, apparently the studio did not let him edit it the way he wanted to, so he got cut out of editing. There's like 10 different producers that all had their say on trying to make this movie what they thought it should be.
But you know who none of the producers are?
Who?
Mike Effin Mignola, who's the one guy you should probably talk to.
Probably. So Neil Marshall, I think, got the raw end of the deal. There were a lot of fights on set. Apparently, his DP, who is the name escapes me, and I was looking into it earlier this weekend, but they fired his DP, the DP that worked with him on Game of Thrones. And apparently, the word is, now the studio denies it, of course, but the word is they fired his DP to tell him,
get in line.
Yes, they fired his DP he works with. They would not allow a lot of his creative decisions. And again, like, they edited what they thought was going to be the best cut. And this is what we end up with. And so,
do you think they do that on purpose to boost the DVD sales when they say, here's Neil Marshall's cut?
No,
I don't know, because
I don't think their focus is not home video. Focus is box office.
That's fair.
If your box office is where it needs to be, home video is going to take care of
it. That's true. Like these Marvel
movies.
That's
not always true, though. Yeah. I mean, like, we've seen.
Well, name a hit movie that came out
at
home video.
Movies that fail at the box office.
I was doing the opposite.
Movies that fail can have a second life.
That's
you
what
want
I meant.
A first life.
Right.
You got to get a. Yeah.
Movies will make 100, 200 million on home video. That's icing on the cake. So I think it was very messy editing. I think the humor and the script is awful. I thought these jokes landed like 10%.
That's the way the comic feels, though.
To me,
my point is, though, like, to me, as I'm watching it, Hellboy is this character who tries to be funny, and like, it's a defense mechanism for him. Like, he's trying to be funny, and he's not always funny.
Interesting.
But
needs to explain.
I agree.
Because I didn't, and there were things I liked.
But he had some
things where, like, there were some odd line readings that he had that I really kind of dug. Like, you know, and I can't, none of them stand out for me at the moment, but I've seen this movie like 4 or 5 days ago, and I drove to Alabama and back. I was just like, there were a couple times where I'm like, well, that's a weird way to deliver that line, but I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
Like, and this guy's a good actor.
David Harbour is great.
Yeah. Who's on Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I like him as an actor, too. Yeah. And again, I don't think this is his fault. I don't think it's the director's fault. But they made some very odd choices, but I think because of the messy editing, I think the editing had a lot to do with it, because when you have jokes, if you hang too long on the scene, if you don't cut at the right part, editing plays a big factor in humor.
Oh, you can kill a joke with editing.
Yeah, so you can have the best joke on paper, but you need the delivery and you need the editing in a film to make it right. And so he would say something and it would just linger and it would be like you could hear the crickets from this, you know, and so a lot of that didn't work for me. And so the humor felt very forced, and I'm not even saying this is a huge fan of the Del Toro movies. Like, I've seen them, I own them, I like them, I'm not like, I don't have any hatred for them, but I also don't have the love for them that a lot of people do,
right?
But man, I just, it's hard because you know those exist, and like, I think that Ron Perlman and I think Del Toro did such a better job with building the universe and the characters that like this one just felt so cheap. I don't know a lot better way to say that. Like,
I think the other ones feel cheap.
Oh,
and I like, and don't get me, like, I, like I said, like, Del Toro goes all in.
I think he elevates it then with his style or something,
that could
because
be.
That dealt it because those movies are Del Toro movies, right? And he can make a world
Duncan,
and make it.
This is so that Duncan Ferrito drew this series, and if you ever look at his style, he has a very, I don't know if he's British, but it definitely has like a European style.
Okay.
There's a lot of, it's like gothic and lots of like dark shading and grays and blacks and things like that. And I feel like this captures more of Fegredo's style, which I thought, like, as I'm watching it, I was like, man, it's interesting. Like, if this was on purpose and they tried to mimic his art style into the movie, I feel like they nailed it for the most part. There are some character changes from the book to this that I found interesting. Like the character, the girl that he meets, is a romantic interest in the book.
Okay,
and she's older, like she's an older character. But I was just like, well, that's an interesting like turn, because they like in the Del Toro stuff, they kind of hint around the romantic relationship between Selma Blair's character and Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it's this woman, and he kills her. Like in the comic, he accidentally. When he grabs Excalibur, he kills, like, he's in a, he's not in a church or anything. He's in like a castle basically. And he grabs Excalibur and this giant hell flame cuts through the entire house. And he thinks that he's killed her. Spoilers. He doesn't.
I will say him with the horns and the flaming sword was pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
I will say that was just cool imagery. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. But, we should mention that Mila Jovovich is in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, I had no idea she was in this movie.
Well, and then
year.
I was like, did
what?
The guy that did Paul W.S. Anderson direct this?
Right.
Because that's
doesn't
the only
she
time
only
she,
do it in movies?
How, I thought that worked.
She's the bad guy. She plays this witch. So in the beginning of the movie, in this black, like, it's like black and white with like red lipstick.
That's you know, how you know it's old time.
Did they, was Arthur's.
With Ian McShane narrating.
I love
in
Ian
this,
McShane. Yeah. So
I love Ian McShane
He's
too.
Man. Ian McShane, if you want to see what a great actor Ian McShane is, this is your movie.
It is.
Because he really takes some awful lines and makes them sound okay.
He elevates this movie. Yeah. Where, like, if Ian McShane was not in this movie,
he's so good.
Yeah.
He's always good.
But you could tell, like, when he's reading this dialogue, I'm sure he was reading this, what the hell is this? Like,
it was just Arthur's. You know, before every one of those lines, he's like,
are you sure?
So the check cleared though, right? Like the wire transfer is complete.
When he read this, he had to have been like, oh my God.
He goes,
yeah.
What is John Wick comes out this year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. He's but like, was Arthur's dragon red?
I don't remember, but there was a lot of this, like it was black and white, but they were like red. Cause I remember it reminded me of like a Sin City thing where they were like, oh, this is in color, but it's black and white. And the slow down thing.
So
and
they
I'm like,
doubled
you're
down.
Doing every single comic book trope.
They double down on, in the book at least, they double down on the King Arthur legend.
Yeah.
Like that is a major
plot. I think
plot
that's really
point.
Interesting, but see, I had never read them and I'm like, King Arthur's in the Hellboy?
Yeah. Like he's the son of King. He's the. So in the book at least, so you know the lady, is it Pendragon? Whoever King Arthur's sister is, right?
Tricks. He's Arthur Pendragon, so that would make
okay,
sense.
Okay, so it's Morgana? Anyway.
Yeah.
Arthur's sister. Tricks him into sleeping with her.
Oh boy.
And she has a son, and he is going to become the he challenges Arthur to be the king of England. They both kill themselves.
No, that's Arthur Five.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they both kill themselves.
Okay.
But what they don't know is that Arthur's actual biological son had other children.
Ooh.
And but then Arthur's people go and kill those boys. What they didn't know is that he had a daughter as well. So the daughter.
Oh, and Moses sent the daughter down the
correct,
river.
Correct.
Okay. I get it.
So they like in the movie, they pretty much get it without having to go into. Because, I mean, the Arthur story is nuts balls.
Yeah.
Like it's there is so much to it. And they pick and choose in the book and they do it fairly well in this where they basically say. It's Arthur's
so this,
like granddaughter.
So in this one, there's like an evil witch, and Arthur decides to chop her up and put her into little boxes.
So the deal, yeah, there's a witch. Arthur and Merlin come to, like, kind of bend the knee, if you will, given what today is. And the Mila Jovovich's like other lackeys kind of turn on her and gives Arthur and Merlin the upper hand. Rather than then they know they can't kill her. So they chop her up into pieces, put these pieces into boxes, seal them with like a, you know, a holy
thing, little curse,
whatever.
Little,
and you cannot open the boxes unless you speak the words.
Mm.
And then they go all over England, thus negating her rise to power. Flash forward.
So this movie, so she sends Bebop from Ninja Turtles.
Who is also like a major, like his hatred for Hellboy goes, like, they get into it, like, and I wish they would have gotten into it, because there's all he was like,
but when they showed how close is it from what they showed, apparently
it's
he
fairly
was,
close
he was taking over,
but he yes as a that leg. Is all legit, yeah. And he was pissed because that was his way. So in his backstory is he was this amazing warrior and he fell in love with this woman and his true form was that warthog thing. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, he fell in love with this woman and the woman was like, let me see you. Like, let me see you as you. And he was like, I can't. The curse that I have is if you see me in that manner, and you scream, I will be stuck like this. So she's like, I promise I won't scream. So he turns and she doesn't scream. And then he turns into a bird. And then a cat eats the bird and then she screams. So he's stuck in the form of, it's a big, oh. So like there's a whole story as to
so
like why
one,
he's
why
trying,
is he stuck
because,
is the...
so he goes and he becomes like this, he makes a deal with the fairies and he being the warthog guy makes a deal with the fairies to take the changeling who was the, of this baby. And that was his way to get back to being normal.
When but how did he get stuck in this version? Did they never explain
they
it?
They never explain
okay,
it.
Okay, because that's what I'm
they
wondering why
do.
He's stuck in this form, because he's supposed to.
They never
to,
explain.
Okay.
They just say that this, like, Hellboy screwed him over, basically.
Right. So I wish there was a little backstory to elaborate. That's one of those things. They like to tell us everything else that we don't right. care about. And then there's this really interesting, weird pig creature that's mad at Hellboy. And right. they're like, meh, backstory stuff.
But there, yeah, in the Wild Hunt, there's like, okay. He gets his own book. Like, he gets his own issue as to explain
so
what happened to him.
Hellboy goes
so
to a wrestling
forward,
match.
Which I thought, I liked this scene. Like, this
was really
fun.
Getting into some, what's that movie? Some
Nacho Libre?
No, From Dusk Till Dawn. It was really,
oh, yeah, very
it was
much.
Really getting into some weird, with the, and was it practical effects or was it CG?
I think the face was probably practical.
Yeah, it looked like they were doing some weird,
wasn't.
I was like, okay, this is getting interesting when yeah. I saw this, but
so Hellboy goes to Mexico to bring
God, the
back.
Humor just killed it for me. All the quips just really
I was in, I
cheapened
was into
it,
it
to
I was
me.
Fine
really,
it.
Oh.
So he goes to Mexico to bring back an agent who was there to look up for who was trying to get recon on a vampire yeah. nest.
Spoiler: he became a vampire.
They got him, and yeah. he's fighting in the Lucha Libre arena, mm-hmm. and then he has to have a match. He basically calls Hellboy out, and I like the makeup more for David Harbour. Than I did. I felt like he was able to emote more, I guess, than Ron Perlman was.
I didn't like his body makeup. That chest suit was,
ooh,
really, was
yeah,
really
the
bad.
Body,
it didn't bother
the
me.
The body was
it
pretty
was really bad.
Bad
looking.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So he fights him, and he realized that then he turns into a legit, like, From Dusk Till Dawn vampire. Yeah.
But he ends up staking him
and
through
he
a post
yeah,
or something.
He, like, drives him through the post, and the vampire, as he's dying, kind of says something to him, and nobody knows what it yeah. means. So he gets... Hellboy goes and he's getting drunk, and finally the two agents from the BPRD, which is the Bureau for Paranormal Defense, show up and they have to bring him back into the fold. It's interesting that they like the guy. I don't remember who played Burkholm in. It was somebody like it was a big British actor, though. Like,
okay.
It was and it, he looked like that guy looked like the character. Like
okay.
they did the makeup right to make him look like that character. Ian McShane's not even close. Like, it's just like, he's like, nope. They're like, Ian, can we put a mustache on you? Can I grow it myself? No, we just want to put one on you. Then no.
He's like, I've got American Gods, my own series over here, right. And I've got John Wick over here.
I've got Deadwood.
Like, this is what I look like. You are right. Not changing yeah. this.
So he brings him in, and finally he says, like, the Osai, you know, Hellboy's kind of pissed that he allowed this agent, because they were buddies. He allowed this agent to go by himself, and it's kind of his fault. And finally... Ian McShane.
Oh, have we
just...
gotten to the Thomas Hayden Church flashback scene yet?
No, but I love every second. Lobster Johnson
oh
is
my God.
Like they did the. I thought it was hilarious because it was so like they leaned into the camp and the pulp. But that's Lobster Johnson.
I
is
bet
a character.
It is Lobster Johnson.
That's the lobster.
But that's. I mean, that's what Hellboy does.
That's
yeah.
exactly what like, Hellboy does. Yeah, like that's he. I mean, he's had probably just as many miniseries as Hellboy yeah. has. Like he's a main character in that. In that world.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. When he shows up, I was like, holy crap.
I like what they were trying to do. I think this movie was trying to do a lot of cool things, but again, and maybe it's the editing, but like the humor did not hit for me. Everything felt so cheap the way that it was done and took me out of it, because it was like they want to be this gritty, you know, F words flying around, you know, Ian McShane is cursing his narration. Everyone's doing whatever. Then the violence is super bloody. They're like, this is what you want, blah, blah, blah. And then they go into the jokey stuff because like, oh, people love jokes in these Marvel movies. And I feel like they just jumped in their tone to where they didn't have their own Hellboy feel. It was like, let's throw this at the wall because it's popular.
So
let's
this is they know that Deadpool worked. And they know that Venom worked, and they mashed that two together.
Yeah, I didn't like that because it's like, I want a tone like when Guillermo del Toro makes a Hellboy movie, it feels like a GDT Hellboy movie, and he builds his own world, and it's his own tone. But do you know what I mean? He made his world,
yes,
and it was his,
yes,
and it you like it or you don't, it's what it is. This movie felt like it was so just uneven.
I get that for sure. Del Toro always uses those like high contrast yellows and reds and whites, and that's not what a Hellboy comic is, to me at least. Like Hellboy, he's had, like I said, Duncan Fegredo, Guy Davis, Richard Corbin. Like those are like, they're more gothic artists who use like a muted color palette. Like the bright spot is Hellboy.
Yeah,
like that's the only thing that is of any real color.
I mean, Del Toro clearly made Hellboy into a Del Toro movie.
Yes.
That's what it looked like,
yes,
right? Because
Del Toro kind of he shined it.
He did.
Like, you know, like,
yeah, I would agree.
You know, Kubrick took Stephen King's book,
right,
and as a jumping off point, but made it very much his own thing.
Yeah.
And The Shining movie might be my favorite Kubrick movie. I'm not a big fan of Kubrick. He always comes across as just kind of cold and detached
to
me.
I would kind of agree.
But I think The Shining is really good. I also like Stephen King and I love that book. And
they're so different.
And they're two totally different experiences. And I also get that, you know, if I had read the book and then saw the movie kind of in real time, I probably would not have liked the movie.
Sure.
I have the benefit of time.
That's
right.
Why I like watching those in reverse order.
Yeah.
You know, I love watching the remake or the adaptation first just to detach myself, and then I can judge it on its own thing rather than, because that's what, you know, 90% of the time, what does every single book reader say about the movie? Oh, it's better, and the book is better. I mean, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, I love doing the opposite way and kind of judging them and then being like, oh, the book is really good, but I like what the movie did.
I think Del Toro took that book was like, oh, these are elements that I can play with.
I'll just mess with them.
And they'll let me do it because it's under the guise of a comic book movie.
Right.
Nobody's going to say that's weird. And so, and then he went and did his own thing with those building blocks.
Yeah. And even, I mean, when you see Abe Sapien in the Del Toro stuff, like he's like a bright blue, where in the books he's almost like a muted blue. Yeah. Like it's almost
like
a grayish
for
blue.
The visual, he wasn't making Sin City.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, so he had
to
bring color into it. It couldn't stand as a black and white book with a red Hellboy.
What I mean by black and white, it's not
muted.
Black.
Right. But that wouldn't work. He's trying to make a vibrant world.
Right.
Like it wasn't, because it would be like a Zack Snyder thing, right? Like muted colors.
That's true.
And he wasn't going for that. But with this one, so Hellboy gets called in. What is
the Osiris Club?
Okay.
Is this club that, They hunt giants.
So Ian McShane sends them here because
like, they need your help.
Allegedly, like they could take on one giant, two giant, but not three.
There's three. Three giants. So he goes and he kind of gets the breakdown of what the, you know, and this is all right out of the Wild Hunt. Like this is all in there. And we see that.
Which is so weird if you see Missing Link and he goes to this club of hunters. It's just so
funny.
Weird to watch this kid's movie that has a very similar
plot
that he goes to.
So we find out that, you know, Hellboy is kind of getting the lowdown. He's talking to these, you know, super creepy, not super creepy, but like 1%ers who are the, you know, hunters. And so he goes into this room
and their lineage and it's their family has passed down.
Old money. Yeah, exactly.
They've been hunters since the olden days. And you even see Ian McShane in like a really old picture.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So he's going around. We see all these giant, literally giant heads, like they're trophies,
but giants.
And there's pictures of each hunting party. And in one of these hunting parties is Ian McShane's kid, Dr. Burkholz. And he,
and what does he say? I didn't really understand.
He's basically saying that, like, he was one of the best hunters. Like, that's what he did, is he hunted
but
monsters.
But the aging, but doesn't he look the same or
he
something?
He does look the same. But we know that, like, there's something going on with, why they're not aging.
Okay. And that's what I didn't understand. But again, I haven't read. So are we supposed to, like, do readers know what's going on?
No, because Burkholz does age.
Okay.
Like, he does get older throughout.
So they never explain it in this movie, though. They just kind of go, he hasn't aged. Okay.
All right. Move along.
Because he's like, I'm like looking for answers. Like,
No. When I say move along, I mean the
characters. Yeah, totally.
I thought they didn't age. It was part of their curse to kill giants at, like, until the giants were gone.
But they kept coming back.
Yeah.
Like, so they wouldn't, there is no, like.
Which is why they weren't aging. They weren't getting rid of all the giants.
It was just, they keep rising from the grave. So this is where Hellboy starts to have like a moment of crisis where he's just like, if his job was to kill monsters, why didn't he kill me?
Mm-hmm.
So, they go on the hunt and everything's going, fine. And Hellboy's trying to get the lay of the land.
Everything's hunky dory.
And then I do like the line where he's just like, this is weird. Like, I feel like this is the perfect spot for a trap. And then of course he gets a spear through his back and he was like, oh, perfect. All right, great. So,
so he has to fight all these giant hunters.
Yeah. So now the hunters today, we should say that they had like a mystic who kind of told them where the giants would be. But she also divulged information that Hellboy was going to bring about the end of the world.
Oh.
Now in the comic, they're saying that like Hellboy is the, true king of England. And these hunters are like, there's no way we would ever allow the son of a demon to take the throne. So we have to kill you in the process.
Do they ever prophesize when he becomes Hellman?
No, he's always Hellboy.
Okay.
Yeah. When he pulls Excalibur, maybe? I don't know.
Just curious, how long does one stay a Hellboy?
As long as he wants.
In a later issue, he starts a musical group, Hellboys to Men.
Oh, okay.
So they take him down. And then you, like, as Hellboy is starting to pass out.
This is a cool shot because he goes underwater.
Right.
But then you see another guy die.
Yeah. You see the main guy's head
or whatever because he had a weird hat on.
Right.
That's how you know because he jokes with him. Do I get to wear the hat? No, I'm the head of the hunt. And you see the guy's head with the hat go
in the water.
I like that camera angle. Maybe this is with the original DP or whatever.
Yeah.
But I like that showing it from that POV underwater. It was a cool shot.
So then Hellboy kind of wakes up. And this is the thing is Hellboy can't die. Like, it's going to take more than a spear through the chest.
I was wondering about that. And later on, they say, you heal really fast.
He died. Like, he has died. Like, there's I think the last Hellboy miniseries is called Hellboy in Hell. And I mean, he has died.
For background, and because I don't think they explained it in this, what is Hellboy? Is he
Hellboy is Satan or something?
No,
he's the son of one of the descendants of King Arthur.
Oh, he's one of these spawn of the...
So the woman, the girl of the daughter
of the Arthur and sister thing.
So there was Arthur and the sister, mm-hmm. and they had son.
And then that
kid had other children.
Yeah, and he's...
And one of the... They killed all the boys, but one of the girls got away.
Okay.
And then that girl had a child, and then... So, like, back... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then one of those children... got into witchcraft.
Okay.
And then hooked up with a demon.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, how in the hell?
Hooked up with a demon.
Do you make a Hellboy?
And then she had Hellboy.
Okay.
So he is this product of he is the first male descendant. Or he is the only male descendant
of
King
Arthur.
Were
killed. Okay.
And this demon.
Okay.
So that's how he can take Excalibur. Like, he's the last of the bloodline.
Okay.
Which is they all get in, like, this isn't for the movie, like,
yeah,
Mike Mignola set all this stuff up, like, it's
because I certainly didn't understand all that from the movie, so yeah. Don't tell me that.
So he kind of wakes up, and I do like where he sees like the pile of bodies, and he's like, I guess you did need me after all.
Yeah.
And then
because don't they explain earlier that they feast on people and suck on their bones, or whatever, and you see a whole pile of
the high pile of people, like, they don't leave bodies behind because it's food. So, in the book, he kind of has like this, companion that turns him invisible in this moment that allows him to like walk past the giants, and the giants don't notice him. So he can just kind of get out of there. They get into the fact that he likes the violence, and he kind of says, F it, becomes uninvisible, and then goes after the giants and kills them all. And he's like, there was a moment where I was cutting one of their heads off where I was like, I love this. Like, this is what I enjoy the most. In this one, they don't really, like, they just happen to see him, and then the fight happens.
He just wakes up, and then he starts fighting them.
Right. So they don't really get into the fact that he is struggling with not being that demon.
Yeah, I wish they would have addressed that. I think that would have been more interesting
for
the character.
I guess they do when he's going to when he touches Excalibur.
Well, that's true. That's true. But it would have been interesting to build that up, and that giant scene would have been the perfect scene,
right,
to show that of his struggle with that, because it just seems like he's just being Hellboy. Like, he's just,
that's basically,
you know,
what, yeah.
I would have liked to have had that character grow,
right,
a little more.
Right. So he gets knocked around by the giants. He kills the giants for the most part, and then he gets picked up by this girl. So.
And what was the deal with it? Oh, is she the one, the baby that he saved?
She's the baby that, okay, he saved, yeah.
With the pig thing we were talking about, yes, earlier, he was trying to take the place of this baby, and so Hellboy eventually, yeah, gets her back, and so she's always, and she's been indebted to him for saving her life.
Right. So, and they're, in, like I said, in the comics, she's an Irish woman with bright red hair, and she has a, like, she and Hellboy are dancing around each other, like, throughout the majority of the miniseries, that they're a couple or that they are into each other. So in this one, they change it to a young, I would say, like, a teenager.
Yeah, she's about 19 or 20.
Yeah,
or 20.
She looked, yeah, like she was of legal age to, yeah, to date a hell man.
Yeah, right. But we find out that she pulls Hellboy back to her apartment, and she's like a medium where she can talk to people from beyond the grave.
That's a pretty cool effect. I did.
So, did you ever see The Haunting
that
in Connecticut?
Yes, it was totally that.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I,
yeah,
haven't.
Yeah.
So I see that
it
was the first
very
one. I'm
similar,
like,
to that.
I'm like,
yeah,
oh, that's
and by
gnarly.
Similar, I mean,
like,
exactly the same.
She throws up this, like,
ectoplasm,
spiritual, like, gross thing, and it turns into a person that talks to you.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's pretty.
Yeah, cool. That's right out of The Haunting,
okay,
in Connecticut. Which is also a great little movie.
Okay.
So she kind of brings Hellboy back, and they have this discussion, and they decide that, like, okay, like, we have to go together. So they kind of team up, and then we're introduced to.
So this is Alice, is the girl.
Alice, yeah, thank you.
And then they go back to the BPRD.
BPRD, and this is where we meet. Is this where we? No,
this is where him and his dad have the fight.
Yeah,
he's like, why didn't you tell me?
We're introduced. Oh, okay. Something happens in their apartment. In that,
yeah,
apartment where
that's
they're
where
attacked.
They come in and take them back.
And he's like, couldn't you, like, the BPRD.
RD.
They storm
in
the,
yeah,
the apartment.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then
right,
take them back. And then he has the fight with his dad about, why didn't,
right,
you tell me that I was going
to. But then we're introduced
the
to the third character, the fourth character in this, which is the Asian dude.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Jin from Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who there, this was the, this
he's
was
on Hawaii 5-0.
This was the, yeah, thing of controversy.
Is he still,
like,
I thought he left.
Well, at some point, yeah. I don't watch.
Well,
that.
He quit because, well, it was a big deal because they weren't paying him the same as,
okay,
the other actors, and he,
oh,
walked, and he walked.
And that's
off.
Daniel.
Scott Kahn wasn't getting the, was getting, was that Scott Kahn's on that show?
Maybe
Scott
but
Kahn.
That's,
Scott Kahn.
Don't you start.
Scott Kahn. That's Daniel Day Kim, yeah, is the actor.
Yeah. Is that really his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's an interesting choice. Besides Daniel Day-Lewis.
I think his parents chose.
That's probably true,
yeah.
But, like, so I think when this movie was announced, they cast a white guy in this role.
Oh, so this was a controversy thing?
This was a controversy thing.
Okay.
And
oh, because in the story, he's an Asian character.
He's not in The Wild Hunt at all.
But in the books,
I don't know who this guy is.
Well, then
I need
why
to go
was
back.
There a casting controversy?
Because I think he is a character in the Hellboy universe.
That's what, okay, that's what
with the BPRD.
Gotcha.
And they cast a white dude, and then there was an uproar, and then the dude left.
Wait, hold on. Please, if anyone knows the answer to this, PewDiePie's in this movie, or is someone on Wikipedia effing with everybody?
Oh, I don't know.
He can't be in this movie.
That sounds like a joke.
No, there's no way.
Okay, I was just reading because I was going through the plot because I was having trouble remembering it. I see that. That's got to be like one of those fake Wikipedia.
Yeah, that can't
things.
Be.
Yeah. Okay,
if
carry
he
on.
Is, he's like a voice of, you know.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to work with him right
no,
now.
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, I know I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, so like they cast somebody, and then it was just like, what are you doing? And then that person pulled out of the movie. And then they cast gotcha. This guy.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. And people were just like, woo. And then this movie happens.
So weird noise for people to collectively.
So this guy has got some weird back.
He's pissed. He's got a big scar on his face. Mm-hmm. We don't really know anything about him. He just doesn't like monsters, basically.
Yeah. But they what
and
is
then,
it? I can't
so
remember.
She,
they do.
They go back to the BPRD. They have the fight with the dad, Hellboy. And because at this point.
So we've seen the flashback where Hellboy was saved by Ian McShane.
Right. He comes out like so. This is the scene from the first Hellboy where Rasputin is trying to resurrect this demon. And he stopped in the process. This is where Lobster Johnson shows up. And it was hilarious. I loved this scene. This was great. And then as Ian McShane's character is going to kill whatever comes out of this thing. We find
it's a cute little Hellboy.
It's mini Hellboy.
Yeah.
If you've never read,
see, I get where he gets the name from,
right?
Because at first I'm like, why is he called Hellboy?
Now he comes out as a little baby. If you've never, there's a I think there's a one shot by Mike Mignola, and I think it is Duncan Fegrito, called Pancakes, and it's the first time little Hellboy has pancakes. It is one of the best like little one shots you'll ever read. Go find it; it's fantastic. So yeah, so he comes out, and then Ian McShane kind of has a change of heart where he doesn't kill this thing, and he adopts it and turns it into a. And that's Hellboy's point, where he's like, "You turned me into a weapon," and he's like, "I'm just trying to make the best you I could make."
Yeah.
Uh oh, the house is on fire.
It's interesting. We're talking about Hellboy.
I know, and the whole house. Yeah,
that's what happens when we talk about Hellboy. Is the house almost catches on fire? It's like you should not be seeing or talking about this movie.
Don't do it. So he comes. You know, he has the throwdown with his dad, and he kind of storms off.
Well, that's when that other witch lady,
right? The
Mila
grabs
him. He goes in. Yeah, he goes into the elevator, and it goes down instead of up.
Right.
And, yeah,
and she kind of says, and this is where he kind of starts to turn a little bit, where he's just like. Why do you want to you can be my king and we will fix this and we'll make it right. And he starts to have kind of a crisis of faith where he does struggle with the demon part rather than the Arthur side.
Yeah, we should say pig creatures found all her body parts
and puts her together.
Put her back together.
Right. And
I was glad that happened quickly, because when they were like in the opening scene where they
just had the one crate,
seven parts, and we'll put it, and then I'm like, is this movie going to be seven times of them trying to find her?
No,
oh, my God.
Just the head and an arm.
Yeah.
That's all we need to see.
Yeah.
So he goes. They figure out where they need to. We should say that Hellboy. Oh, no, you're right. The other witch, Baba, whatever, kind of says
Duke. Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga, which is another, like, she's a character in the books as well.
Which is weird that Ian McShane's in John Wick,
that's
and they call him the boogeyman, Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga. Yeah. Okay. So she kind of says, like, you screwed me over, but I will tell you what you want to know, where to find her, if you give me your eye. And he was just like, cool, done.
But I'm going to need it first. And
she's
so
like, he's like, yeah, he's like, no. Let's steal it with a kiss. And I do like, she kisses him.
This
it was super
so nasty.
Gross. But I liked when he comes back into the BPRD, like he's still constantly like, like he's still messed up about it, like, because it was so gross. So he kind of tricks her into giving her the info. They go to where they need to go, which is this church. Why do they go to see Merlin first? Oh, that's the key, is like the way you're gonna beat her is you need to go find Merlin. So they find where Merlin has, because Merlin in the beginning of the movie kind of instigated the what do you call it, revolt against Mila Jovovich. She tricks, like, she buries Merlin forever, and he won't die until the curse is lifted. So Hellboy unearths Merlin.
Meanwhile, Ben is walking around with a Hellboy killer that he got from some priests.
Right.
With the holy water.
Which I thought was kind of cool. I was like, it's got like the tears of whatever. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. That's fine.
So, because he's walking around this whole time thinking, like, I'm going to
put
Hellboy
down. You got one shot. He was like, you may want to aim for the head. Like, well, his brain's kind of small, so I'll just hit him in the chest. So this is where we get the backstory that Hellboy is the last male descendant of King Arthur. He can pull Excalibur if he wants to. And he kind of touches it, and we see if he pulls this sword out of the stone, if you will,
right?
He will usher in the end of the world. Like, by taking the sword, he will usher in the end of the world, and he won't do it. So, of course, Merlin kind of says, I used the last of my magic to give you that opportunity, and you mucked it up, and Merlin kind of disintegrates and dies. So now Hellboy, they have to go find, they realize that they have no other choice. They have to go find the Excalibur, and they know that it's, I don't know how they figure out that it's in this once, but it's underneath this church, and that's where Mila Jovovich is. This is where we get, as they're flying there, this is where we get the backstory on Ben, where he was part of this military operation. He's attacked by this jaguar, and he's the only one that survives. Turns out it was a werewolf of some sort.
It's a werewolf jaguar.
A werewolf jaguar.
Now he turns into cat person.
Which I was just like, yeah, why not? I mean, like, from the other Hellboys, you had a guy who was a fish. You had a gal that, you know, could control flames. Yeah, let's just be weird and go for it.
What was funny was, so I fell asleep during that part.
Oh!
And then I woke up finding out he could turn into a cat person. To my surprise. And Hellboys, like, or demons are, like, ripping people in half. I was like, what is happening
here?
Oh,
man. When those demons come out of the ground and just start, I mean, murdering people. Not we don't see it on screen. Like, they're tearing people apart.
They own their R rating.
Yes, they
that's
did.
That's so, like, I mean, I saw this in, like, the middle of the day or, like, 11 a.m. Yeah. It was not late, but I was having a snooze during this. But I wake up to that, and I'm like, I think I missed something.
Let's do it.
I saw it in IMAX.
Did you?
And it was a loud movie.
Bold move.
That was where it was showing.
So the bodies fly.
There was probably, like, six people in the theater.
Yeah.
So to whoever the guy is that decided to book the seat two seats over
what
for
a
me,
dick.
You're a weirdo, and I don't want to ever see you at a urinal. Like, it's an empty theater.
Yeah, take three rows back. Same,
like,
seat.
Two seats over.
What
are you
doing?
Kidding me?
Don't be weird.
Yeah, we had six at my showing too. No, I saw mine at 9:30 in the morning, and I fell asleep during it.
What is wrong with you?
It was just boring.
Maybe that's why I didn't fall asleep during this, because it was so loud. I saw an IMAX.
Yeah, maybe,
like,
that's why.
I was feeling bad for the other movies.
When we saw Pet Sematary, and they're doing one of the scenes,
we're so quiet, and you could hear.
But you could hear it was the Elton John movie.
You could hear the trailer for the Elton John movie.
Yeah, and I was like, this doesn't work.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think She Should Die to the Tiny Dancer.
No, I don't. That's what it was. Yeah. It was when Ellie gets hit by the truck, and we're hearing Tiny Dancer.
Yeah.
Or Tony Dancer.
So he turns into this cat.
Right.
Man.
So they get into this church. They figure out that Arthur's tomb is underneath the church. And the Mila Jovovich's character kind of has, she's kicking the crap out of Hellboy left. And this is where we get the pig is massive. Like, she gives him the power to be massive. And, the Ben turns into the Jaguar. Cool little, I liked this fight. Like, it was fun. And then we find this hole. And Hellboy kind of falls down the hole, and he's like, look, I'll do whatever. Like, she's got the dad, and he's like, look, I'll do it. You've already, just let him go. I'll do whatever you want. You've got me. And she was like, yeah, I know. And then slits Ian McShane's throat and kind of throws him in there. And this pushes Hellboy over the edge, and he grabs the sword, and he gets the horns, and he comes walking out of this hole. But he's not Hellboy anymore. Like, he's
demons
not,
are flying
he,
everywhere.
He, yeah. He opens the, this opens yeah, the portals opens of the, hell.
Yeah.
And all of these demons are coming out, and I mean, gutting people, tearing them to
this
shreds,
is what I, yeah,
like
I mean,
pulling
I,
heads off,
deboning them.
Yeah.
I was probably only asleep for like 5 minutes or so, but I fell asleep before this, and I woke up to him getting the sword, all hell breaking loose, literally. And I'm just like, oh my god,
what is happening?
Like, to wake up to
people
getting
they go
ripped
to see Merlin because the Mila Jovovich throws a poison dart into Alice's neck, and the only person that can heal them is Merlin.
Yeah. That's Jovovich, just so you know.
Whatever.
She's not listening.
She's also Alice, if you want to get to see her, like she said.
But so Jovovich is her real
Jovovich
name.
Jovovich is her real name. Yes. Lilu. this is it. Like, the prophecy is coming true. Nobody can stop him. He looks amazing. Like, he looked badass with that. So the flaming
the
Excalibur.
Sword is pretty cool. Like, I like the flaming
the flame crown.
Yeah. It's cool imagery.
Yeah,
it
it's
is.
Very cool. Yeah. So as he's about ready to consummate the relationship, I guess, with Mila Jovovich.
Jovovich.
All right. The Alice uses her power to, because Ian McShane is still, I mean, he'd only been dead 2 minutes, so his spirit was still there.
So she does the weird, creepy
throw up thing, and there's him, and Ian McShane kind of gives a little speech, breaks whatever hold the witch has on Hellboy, and Hellboy cuts her head off.
He
cuts her head off, right? And then he snaps his horns off, which is a thing from the comics as well, but also I think Del Toro had done it. Mm. I do like the scene where they're filing.
Yeah, filing, keeping him
like down where he's just like filing
him
off.
I really liked the relationship between him and his dad. I like that where he's filing, like you're saying. And see, I wish when they killed off him, I'm like, oh, I mean, not that this would get a sequel, but I'm just like, I really like the relationship between those two. I kind of wanted more of that, because it was really neat to know like that he's raised him and he's his dad, and I just wanted to know more about that. So
there's a lot, honestly, the pancakes, like, that's a good way to start with their relationship. So he cuts her head off, And then I guess
he drop kick it somewhere or something. I can't remember what he,
kicks it
with
down to the, he kicks it into the pits of hell. So like her body's there, but they'll never get her head back.
Yeah.
So everything kind of seals back up. Does he break the sword?
I don't even remember what happens to the sword.
Cause like everything, maybe he doesn't either way.
Yeah. I don't know where it goes. Like, I don't remember anyone having it.
I don't remember either. So everything kind of seals back up. They go, everything's okay, except for the hundreds
Ben
of people
throws
that
away his
gun.
Bullet, because he's like, oh, this guy's
throws the bullet
good.
Away, right? Yeah. And then we get Alice, who finds out that her power, like, she can knock spirits out of bodies, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, she just punches them, and then the spirit kind of comes out of it.
So, like, 6 months later, they're a team, and they save this big action set piece for, like, the very last
Which was
thing.
Cool. Like, a little to kickstart my heart, which I was like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
I don't care. At this point, I'm already like, whatever. Yeah. So there's a
it
good...
It just felt... I don't know. It felt very reminiscent of every other cool action. It just felt like such an imitation to me. Like, it could have been cool, but also I feel like I've seen it a million times. Like,
sure.
Let's do this badass fight scene between that goes between the trio to this rock music or whatever. I'm like,
yeah, I was in. I had fun. I don't care. So they go in. They take everything out. And then they're just like, oh, that's already been destroyed. And they kind of wipe off like this canister.
You know, this reminded me of, it was the Yondu arrow scene from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I think, where he's killing everybody and you're seeing these different shots of the arrow going around.
That's the problem, is you're going to, like, as soon as somebody does it, everybody's going to try to copy
it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was a cool tracking shot. I mean, I know it's a fake tracking shot, but it was still.
But like
in this or Guardians?
And well, I'm sure it was fake
Guardians
in both,
was
but
you think
good.
It was fake in Guardians? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But this was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so they go down. There's this like a tube basically, and they wipe off the nameplate, and it's like, you know, Sapien, and of course you see the hand, and we'll get it's Abe Sapien, who is a much cooler version of a
Shape of Water.
I was thinking the whole time what this movie's lacking is the fish guy from Shape of Water.
Yeah,
if there was more fish sex in this movie, it would have been better. But no,
we're gonna get a we probably won't get a sequel.
When the sequel to this comes out,
then so there's two post credit sequences.
Oh, there were
I
left.
So there's one where kind of like Hellboy's sitting at Burkholz's grave and he's reminiscing, and then here comes Lobster Johnson. And they have this interaction, and he, like, Hellboy's freaking out because he's a huge fan of Lobster Johnson. Thomas Hayden Church is just owning the camp of the scene. And, like, they kind of go back and forth. He's like, this is not what your dad would want. Like, he wants you to get back out there. He's like, you're right. You're right. He's like, and there's an awkward pause, and Lobster Johnson goes, you want to see the claw? And he's like, yes, I would like to see the claw, please. And of course, he puts his hand up, and there's the claw. And then he's like, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then we go to the last post credit sequence is Baba Yaga talking
to somebody, setting up for a sequel,
for the villain for the sequel, talking to this person off screen, and you don't really see nothing but her. This character was a backup story to in the Wild Hunt. Like, they tell this story of this great warrior who was undefeated, and he couldn't, you know, he got hurt on the fields of battle. He kind of indentures himself to this dragon, and the dragon adopts him as a son and gives him this impenetrable shirt, basically, so he can't be killed in the battlefield. He earns the
and apparently this comes from Russian folklore. So this is they adapted from folklore.
Yeah. So then, you know, anyway, there's a big story where he becomes the woman that he marries. She didn't want to marry him. They have him killed, and then the dragon is so pissed that he brings this person back again, but without a soul.
Okay.
And then
so he's just living without a soul and cannot die.
He cannot die and wants to die, but he's a killing machine. And the Baba Yaga kind of says, if you kill Hellboy for me, I will give you what you want.
That's the big outline. It's like, I will let you die. Yeah.
And if you like in the Wild Hunt, it's like a 5 or 6 page backup of a story, kind of like the, what was the thing in Watchmen?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Oh, okay.
And then that character shows back up later.
Gotcha.
And that's it. That's Hellboy. I enjoyed the crap out of it. I get it. Like, but I also like, it was down and dirty, and it wasn't trying to do anything. In my opinion, it wasn't trying to do.
I feel like they knew they were rebooting a movie that kind of had an art house pedigree.
Right.
And they were like, we need to go run as far from that pedigree as possible.
I agree.
And it's interesting. Not often we're all three in different spots. Like, you loved it, you hated it. And I'm kind of like, It was okay.
I would watch it. I would watch it again.
Yeah.
I think there was maybe a movie in there because, again, the things they tried to do, yeah. I liked, but the fact that he was locked out of the editing room, the director, like, I think that the studio thought they knew what was the best and they ended up with a big mess.
Yeah.
And
here's what they should honestly do. If they're going to do this, you take the tone of, you do what Venom wanted to do.
Right.
And you start at the first Hellboy mini. Right, like that you get, then you get your origin out of the way in that first movie, and then you just, like, each movie can be one of the, like, there's so many miniseries out there.
It's designed to be a franchise that doesn't require you to see the ones that came before.
You don't have to.
Yeah,
like they may reference people that were just like, because I mean, when you're reading the Wild,
like James Bond,
exactly.
I mean, James Bond movies are like that.
He is kind of like a monster James Bond.
Like, you don't have to see the other James Bonds, and they'll reference it. And if you're a nerd and you're really into it, then it's cool to see. But if you're just a
James
guy,
Bond, you can go on any of them.
Yeah, right. And you're good. You know?
And this wasn't really an origin story, though. I mean, they do is show a little flashback, but really, I mean, the movie kicks off and you don't learn of that origin for over an hour. So
But what Tom's saying is, like, if you want to cut it down to an hour 45, you don't need the origin.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really need to. If you're not going to give it to you, if you're not going to give it to the people that don't know who this character is in the beginning,
yeah,
there's no point.
That's true.
You just take that out.
Yeah, should have been shorter for sure.
But I would have been interested to see the director's intended version because I think what I liked about it, it was probably what he was trying to do.
I think the
director didn't even come to the premiere of the movie. I mean, that's how bad it was.
And it wasn't screened.
He didn't show up.
Yeah, they did not screen it at all.
But I mean, when you're the director and you don't show up to the premiere, you know that. I mean, like,
that's not a good sign.
It sounds like he got the raw end. And again, there's always two sides to every story, but I can't imagine this guy, with all the stories, go Google about the Hellboy set and all the production issues. And it's a shame because it could have been really cool.
Could have.
Yeah, I think it could have been. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, please do so on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers and stay up to date through all sorts of things throughout the week and movie news and just us being goofballs. and of course our Patreon account, patreon.com/real spoiler. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Ozzy Osbourne bites off Adrian's head. I wake up every evening with a big smile on my face and it never feels out of place. And you're still probably working at a 9-to-5 pace. I wonder how bad that tastes. When you see my face, hope it gives you hell, hope it gives you hell. When you walk my way, hope it gives you hell, hope it gives you hell. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.